coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Who's going to stop the madness? Who among us will stop the madness? Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, and it's Wednesday. It's the 29th day of December 2021. We only have a few more days left of this year. People are saying, oh, I can't wait to get rid of this year. Well, yeah, buckle up, because next year is going to be, in my belief, is going to be worse in terms of the tyrannical overreach of the government. I want to say thank you.
No, all our problems will be solved. 2022.
Eric the Tech, did somebody
right at midnight
unlock you, man? Did somebody unlock you? I thought I had you locked up in that cage. No. I'm going to get hate mail because people love you. How you been?
You said you're going to let me out at midnight, at 2022. Midnight,
2020, yeah, but now it's that's all right. You know, I got to tell you what, folks. Eric the Tech, I love the guy. I got to tell you, he helped me today in a number of things, and he's a great man, and I appreciate it. And he's also married to my daughter, so that kind of, you know, hey, you got to love the guy, right? And he's the father of my grandchildren.
Hence the cage. For me, not the kids.
No. You know, I want to say thank you to Jim, and that's all I'm going to say, his first name. I received this yesterday. And this is so weird because, you know, folks, when you go on Amazon and you're looking at different titles, okay, of books, I was looking at, and I remember this now, I was looking at General Patton, a book about General Patton, and I had gone through several pages, several books, and then, you know how they make recommendations, and this book came up as a recommended title, and it's called the John Wayne Code. I'll get this right. And it was a recommended title. I saw that and I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to get that, because that to me, John Wayne is the epitome of the American, the true American. And to my surprise, I got this gifted to me yesterday by Jim, and I want to say thank you so very much. And I know that I know what you do for people. I know what you do in this country, and I just want to say thank you. But one of the pages here, I liked this. Now it's broken down. The John Wayne Code is broken down into chapters, and I believe this. I believe this with my entire heart. This is the image. If you can see this, those people watching at home and at various dining establishments. There are two now. I want to say welcome. But there's a picture of John Wayne in a combat uniform in the Longest Day, 1962 film. But the quote from John Wayne is this: just give the American people a good cause, and there's nothing they can't lick. That's from John Wayne. And I believe that. So who among us is going to stop the tyranny? Who among us is going to, has the will, the desire to fight back, to push back, and to say enough is enough? I want to know that. The news of today, of course, is, you know, it's dire. By the way, Richard Proctor is on with me as we speak. He's going to be, the front end, we're just going to address a couple of issues, and then I'm going to turn it over to Richard, what he wants to talk about for the remainder of the full second segment. But I'm going to ask him a couple of different things. By the way, provostinstitute.com, that's where you can find Richard Proctor, provostinstitute.com. And there, of course, you can find Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics, and other titles. The Liberty Series, of course, very, very instrumental in providing you the background of what's taking place, of why where we're at, and who's behind of where we're at. Now, again, asking who's going to stop this madness. You know, The Hill reported yesterday that Biden says if his medical team advises it, he'll issue domestic travel vaccine requirements. Now, this is The Hill. You know, when I look back at where we were in 2019, And as this whole thing began progressing through today, and I don't know how many really literal hundreds of hours of interviews, of videos I've watched about this SARS-CoV-2, and putting together, and I think Richard Proctor will like this as well, putting together, piecing together Anthony Fauci through various administrations, his work with AIDS. And I say work, maybe that's too charitable of a term. His whole involvement with AIDS, HIV, and pushing a narrative back then, and then with the H1N1 and all of these other various, I would say, pet projects. And then we come to more recent times with the SARS-CoV-2. And I want to just mention this. People will say, well, it doesn't exist. It's just the flu. It's just a cold. Look, I've seen people, now I've seen people die from the flu. In my years alive, I have seen people die from influenza, seasonal influenza. I've seen that. Not a lot, but I've seen enough. This year, I've seen many, several. How's that? Several good friends die of this bioweapon. I do believe that this is a bioweapon. I do believe that I think without any problem whatsoever. Here's my position on this. And as the year comes to a close, I want to make this very clear to people. Based on my research, my investigation, interviews with doctors, interviews with nurses, interviews with immunologists and virologists. And yes, there's a difference between the two. I didn't know that, but there is. And with biologists and some people who have studied the genomic sequences, plural, of these various strains. I believe this. I believe that Event 201, which preceded this so-called pandemic, I believe that mapped out the more recent events of what we're seeing. The SPARS 2025 document, I don't know how many people have seen that, SPARS, I believe that mapped out the infrastructure. I believe that the germ games that have been played by the United States, by the Western intelligence / medical community, as well as the Chinese, I believe all of this combined together has resulted in the creation of a bioweapon. And if I were to indict, if this was me and somebody said, hey, Doug, based on your investigation, would you issue indictments? Who would you indict? I think, well, first, as opposed to indicting anyone, I would bring in for interview and interrogation, obviously, Anthony Fauci, obviously, Rachel Walensky, Ralph Barrick from the University of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I would extend that into some, I would extend that to Bill Gates. I would extend it also into other globalists, people within the IT community, as well as the biomed community. I would also get into some Chinese nationals, including Xi Zhengli. And there's also a variation of that name, there's a male scientist as well. Going back into the 2015, mid-teens in this century. And I would look at charging them with, for example, 18 U.S.C., 2331 and 802, acts of domestic terrorism resulting in the death of American citizens. 18 U.S.C., 2339, conspiring to commit acts of terrorism. 15 U.S.C., sections 1 through 3, conspiring to commit criminal commercial activity. That's an important one. 18 U.S.C. 175, funding and creating a biological weapon. 18 U.S.C. Section 8, market manipulation and allocation. 18 U.S.C. 1001, lying to Congress, Anthony Fauci in particular, and others. 15 U.S.C. Section 19, interlocking dictates. And 18 U.S.C. Code, Section 2384, seditious conspiracy. And I would also name Alex Alazar, Health and Human Services. And as I mentioned, Fauci. I can't forget Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric. Pretty much the entirety of the hierarchy of the FDA, the CDC, the NIAID, Moderna, and Pfizer, to be clear. Crimes against humanity. I think we need somebody to rise up and, again, quoting John Wayne, you know, there are a lot of good people here in the United States. We need to find them, and we need to rise to this occasion and say enough. My grandkids are on the line. The life of my grandkids are on the line. By the way, LA schools are right now, the Los Angeles School District, Unified School District, here's what they're doing real quick. They're sending their children home with notes. Sign this if it's okay for your child to be vaccinated. All right. But the fine print is this. If they come back and this note is not signed by virtue of the children going back to school, despite this note, despite this not being signed, that is your implied consent as a parent that you're allowing them to get the jab at the school. It's happening right now. We can't allow this. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, come on board, and let's spend the rest of the time together. What do you think, brother?
Oh, I'm listening very closely to the fine print that you just mentioned. You know, that's how all these things happen. There's always something in the background, very small in the background, that they don't let anybody else know about. Yep. It doesn't even have to be written on the piece of paper. It just has to be in the announcement or in the plan or in the whatever. Send a note home. Everybody looks at it, says, no, I won't sign that. Send it back. They've given consent. No, they haven't. But they've construed it, so they call it that. Now they press on illegally to do what they want to do. I'm asking a question. You talked about bioweapons. You know, I believe there's a bioweapon. What's a bioweapon for? What is a bioweapon?
To kill people.
It's a disease that spreads through the air. It's a disease, deadly disease, or a deadly chemical, a deadly anything that spreads through the air and generally widespread kills the enemy without loss of the infrastructure. Now, that's important. Without loss of the wealth, you can destroy the country without loss of the infrastructure. All right, now, what's been happening? Well, if you call this a bioweapon, the deaths have been all over the page, everywhere, children, old people, everywhere. All over the country, everywhere, physicians, everybody, scads and scads of deaths. The goal? Now, this goal has been in mind for these people. I discuss it in the Liberty series. The population of the earth is to be reduced down to something like 500 million, give or take a little. That's the goal. Who's the enemy? Everybody else. So if you really want to destroy without destroying without destroying the infrastructure, you'll still have the buildings and the machinery and everything, the roads, everything will still be in place to be used by those who are not dead. Okay? And that's what a bioweapon does. It generally destroys widespread without destroying the wealth. There you have it. So we've been in the middle of that since the beginning of 2020. That was the preparatory stage. You've also got to have a preparatory, a step one. A step one was to get people scared.
Yes.
And the media did an outstanding job of that task.
Yes.
It's fear. They want people afraid, even afraid of each other. Oh, they've worked hard and they've been very successful. 6 foot away. That's nothing. The disease, if we're talking about the weapon itself, it goes 26 feet before it drops to the ground, unless there's a breeze or a wind or air conditioning movement. It goes 26 feet. So what's 6 feet mean? Nothing. So someone who said we need to be 6 feet apart to protect ourselves, that happened to be a past president, was leading us down a road. We have to be 26 feet away to protect ourselves. Without breeze, air conditioning movement, or any of that kind of stuff, because it stays afloat. oxygen. Everybody put on a mask. Okay, so everybody did. And they said, we're putting it on for safety. And everybody was afraid. Oh, I'll get the disease. I'll die. Ooh-wah. Okay, but the mask they recommended to everybody is completely ineffectual. So obviously, the goal wasn't to have people wearing masks. It was to have people afraid, wearing them because they were afraid, but they'll still get the disease and transmit it. We've already discussed that an oxygen molecule, which is one of the things that's used to transport the virus, is 252 picometers, if I say that right, which is 0.000252 microns. And none of these masks will stop anything below 5, 6, 8, 10 microns. So it's like a chain link fence. But that wasn't the issue. The issue wasn't, it was to everybody be afraid, do what we're telling to. You can wear the mask, now you're safe. You see, you're safe. Get the shot, get the vaccine, now you're safe. And then everybody got, Betty got the vaccine and they died, so they weren't safe. Many others got the vaccine and then they still contracted the stuff that's picked up in the false test. So there wasn't any protection against the disease either. But things were implanted in your body to limit the length of your life. And these people don't care if you die in 10 years, die early, okay, early now. They don't care if you die in 6 months, 2 months, 2 hours, or 10 years, as long as you die. They don't want you here. Who is you? That's me and everybody else of the common run. The only people to be left in the 500 million are these elite, they're doing it to us, that group, and that group's pretty large, and enough people to take care of them as slaves. Maids, you know, that kind of stuff, maids and gardeners, all the things, the menial work that they don't want to do. Grow enough crops for them to have something to eat and those people too. But in other words, let's make this planet back to just us and the animals and the minimum menials we need. And that's the goal. And that's what a bioweapon does. So this fits the bioweapon perfectly. Perfect.
You know, Richard Proctor, by the way, provisinstitute.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Would it surprise you, Richard, by the way, I don't want to move past the SARS-CoV-2, this bioweapon thing. Back in 1997, William Cohen was talking about a genetic bioweapons program. This goes back into the 70s, 80s, and 1990s. In 2008, there was also a program addressing genetic bioweaponry. But would it surprise you? Here's a couple of things I want to just throw out there. Dr. Francis Boyle, who wrote the weapons treaty, biological weapons treaty, who was one of the authors and signatories of the bioweapons treaty, said this: what we're seeing now, SARS-CoV-2, is an offensive biological warfare agent made in a lab and engineered with gain-of-function properties. It's a tripartite chimera virus consisting of, number one, SARS, number two, the gain-of-function properties, and thirdly, the genetically recombinant HIV viruses. So you've got HIV, SARS, and gain of function as an added function into this particular bioweapon. What we're seeing with the shots now, you're seeing viral immune escape. All right, so you're looking at the people who get the shots as carriers of a larger viral load, and blaming it on the unvaxxed, in their words. A couple of other things very quickly, and then I want to ask you about this. The genetic analysis of the SARS-CoV-2, what we're seeing right now, the smoking gun is something known as the fern cleavage. So, I mean, there's a fern cleavage. There's, without getting too technical, this virus not found in nature is made to specifically infect and be deadly to the human population, which you mentioned about the Georgia Guidestones. and all of, and you've addressed this in the Liberty series too. Folks, the Liberty series, if you want to know why things are happening today, Liberty series, great read, multiple volumes. It's worth the money. Go to provisinstitute.com. But so all of this, okay, all of this in the back, in the, as a backdrop. Now here's what we're seeing today. You're seeing on trial right now, and you might think that this is a non sequitur, but it is, Ghislaine Maxwell. Okay, you can't make this up. Ghislaine Maxwell's on trial right now for her role in underage sex trafficking and other charges. The judge saying, hey, we got to wrap this up because, you know, the threat of Omicron, we got to hurry up, telling the jury to hurry up, making way for a mistrial by itself. You've got James Comey's daughter prosecuting Ghislaine Maxwell. They want to get rid of this quickly. But even beyond that, and this is my question, a big wind-up question, I guess. How many people out there, Richard Proctor, do you think know about the real intent of Jeffrey Epstein, about the real intent of Bill Gates, about the real intent of these people out there who are attempting to seed, because you mentioned this, to seed the population, to make little clones of themselves? Jeffrey Epstein was on record about this. Hey, I'm going to populate the world with my DNA. How many people do you think know the extent of really what's in your Liberty series? How many people do you think know the extent of this whole big conspiracy? And it is a conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's a conspiracy. How many people do you think know what's in your Liberty series and really what's behind this? I mean, I know that's kind of a softball question, but it gives us a place to start for discussion. Go ahead.
The question is, how many do you think? It is a massive undertaking to put this information all together in a way that people can understand what the dickens it is. I will say this. There will be some, maybe a tenth of a percent of people who do understand the whole picture. And I don't know the number, but there'll be some. We can't say nobody's doing it. But there'll be some that understand the whole picture in a conglomeration. The Liberty series, this group of books brings out all of that information in an easily read, detailed, short now, analysis, so you can get it. Each section covers a particular item. I mean, the items that are covered here, very important items, folks. Let me just read a little bit here. Come on, get to the... Okay, the things we talk about in this book, these books, all six, pre-trade, Federal Reserve, conspiracy, secret societies, private property, freedom of speech, tracking the people, Rothschild, North American Union, public schools and what they're doing, war, communism, courts, all these things are discussed in detail throughout the six of them, but it's still short. If I discussed it completely, the thing would be 100 volumes of 100,000 pages each. Well, not that much, but you got the idea. Folks, very few people know anything about it at all. And most, when they tear, don't believe it, oh, surely not. Not in our country. And that's the thought. We're free in our country. We don't have to worry about it. But we're not free. The Constitution was written not for us to have rights, but to keep the country, the government of our federal government under control. And immediately, within a year, 18 months of it being ratified, they began to violate it to get it out, to get their control back, to make sure they didn't lose their control. We talk about a republic. We even have a Pledge of Allegiance that says we're a republic. We're not a republic, folks. We haven't been a republic since the middle 1800s. Did I really say that? Yes, I did. But we definitely haven't been a republic since 1913. No question we haven't been since that date.
And what are we?
We are a fascist organization. We're a fascist country with the government control of all wealth the government controlling income, the government controlling what you can do and can't you do down to the minutiae. What's the minutiae? How much water you can get out of your tap in the kitchen. That's minutiae. They're controlling you. They're making you do what they want. Okay, that's a fascist country. We are a fascist. People own, but they must do what they're told to do. Who's making them do it? OSHA. OSHA comes around not to make sure you're safe. OSHA comes around to make sure the government edicts are being performed. And some of the edicts, they're going to write themselves to make sure you do what they want. For example, if you've got a banister that's only 2.5 feet and OSHA says it's got to be 3, you got to take it down and build one that's 3. That's the way it works. That's how it's done. That's what OSHA does. OSHA's not out there to protect you from anything. They're out to make sure you accommodate exactly what the federal government wants. And that goes through everything, not just OSHA. It goes through the mining safety stuff. It goes through all the safety stuff. For example, how many of you that are over 50, maybe you'd say over 60, over 50, wore a helmet to ride a bicycle? We never heard of such a thing. What do you mean a helmet? Motorcycle guys wear helmets. They're going to crash into something at 60 miles an hour. Well, that's true, but a bike isn't. I've fallen off a bike. I've scraped myself up. All kinds of stuff. Bikes, but the government parent, our parent, says, you can't ride a bike unless you have a helmet. And that's the minutiae of our lives. We're a fascist organization. Not as bad as Italy was, but we're slowly moving that direction. Think about this, solar energy. The government wants solar energy. Why? Because they want not to have petroleum fuels. Because petroleum fuels give you too much independence. What? Did I say that? Too much independence? Sure. You have a petroleum in your car, you can drive wherever you want. If you have electric in your car, you're limited. And if the electric has to come from solar or wind, you are really limited. It's control. So why do you think the government subsidizes solar collectors? I mean, you can't afford solar collectors unless this government pays half of it for you, or 2/3 of it. You can't afford it. And what does it do when it gets on your roof? Almost nothing at all. Almost nothing. Why? Because the sun doesn't shine where you want it all the time. Because rain and clouds and everything interrupt it. Nighttime interrupts it. Everything interrupts it. Wind generate. They don't generate enough electricity to do anything. It's all to eliminate your ability. If you don't have electricity, there's a lot of things you can't do. And we're in charge of that. That's the goal. We're a fascist country. We're not a republic. We've been a fascist country for decades, maybe even centuries. I mean, folks, think about it for a minute. What happened in 1790? The founding fathers at the convention, 1787, ratified in 1788, they haggled over how many representatives each person would represent. They haggled hard into the night about that. Over and over and over, they haggled. The number was 50,000 or less, like 10,000, something. But 50,000 was the max that was always haggled over. That was the max. And the small states would not stand for it. So it was suggested 30,000. Now, if you go into the Declaration of Independence, you go into the Constitution and you read Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3, you will see the number of people that are supposed to be represented went up until the first census. Did you know that not that number doesn't even total 30,000? Even that number doesn't total 30,000. And when they first census, they changed it immediately to 50. Who is they? Those who want strong central government. They're the ones who changed it.
And now, correct me, these are the Federalists, right?
They're the Federalists. Okay. They are the Federalists, yes.
All right. And to bring it to today, for example, to make it relevant, not that this is not relevant, but to make it specific to today, Biden went up to a microphone yesterday, I believe it was, and said, well, with respect to the coronavirus or the pandemic response, it's going to be up to the states. And of course, he turned and walked away, shuffled away, that is. help me work this out. He says it's going to be up to the states, which my question is that the way it should be?
It should be up to the states, yes. Okay. Yes, okay. There's no doubt about that. Article 6, paragraph 2 and 3 say that, and the 10th Amendment says that. It's up to the states. But folks, pay attention here. It's okay to send things to the states today. Why? Because the state governments is a part of the corruption. Therefore, it's okay. You get the picture here? The state government and many of the local governments are a part of the corruption. It's supposed to be that way, but there's not supposed to be corruption at that level either. The Declaration of Independence said it, absolutely, and we're not paying any attention to this. Declaration of Independence, I'm going to read here out of the book, the Declaration of Independence. It is the right of the people to alter or abolish a government when any form of government becomes destructive to our inalienable rights. I have an inalienable right to breathe. And the government has no area at all to limit my breathing, period. I have a right to private property. They have nothing they can do about my private property. Yet they tell me what kind of a light bulb I can have. They tell me what kind of water I can have in my faucet. They tell me what I can have in my toilet. They tell me when I'm building something, you got to build it the way they want it precisely. I mean, come on, folks. We're a fascist organization. We are not a republic, and we're definitely not a democracy. Folks, we're being taken down the road. You know, the donkey being led by the nose? Well, we are.
So what you just said right there, okay, the people who are settling for these high-efficiency washers and dryers. You know what, folks? You might as well take it and beat your laundry with on the rocks, or get one of those old-fashioned, what do you call them? Ringer washers. Yeah,
ringer washers.
And actually, I bought a house and one was in there, and we actually used that, and it worked. But anyway.
Grandmother had one. I used it.
Yeah. So this is brought. So the next time you flush a toilet that doesn't really work, or the next time you put clothes in the washer that doesn't really wash, or a dryer that doesn't really dry, or you drive a car it's got this. What do they call those? Aside from catalytic converters, but the inhibitors to the next time you your thermostat. Your water, as you say. What a bunch of crap. Get out of my friggin' life, because you're not doing anybody any favors. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, this high efficiency stuff. I had a choice. Building an addition, I had a choice of a regular heating air conditioning or high efficiency heating air conditioning. And the price was up $4,000 different. You know what I chose? The regular one. I'm not ever going to get paid back $4,000 difference. The life of the thing won't do it. These gizmos that they stick up, they call wind generators. Those things are millions of dollars each. We'll never get enough electricity out of those to ever even pay the maintenance on them. It's all a farce. It's all control of you and I. It's put up things to make sure we agree with everything that's being said. Our federal government is out only for themselves. We are not a republic. We are a fascist country.
As an aside, Richard Proctor, I thought of you and a number of other people, and I thought of Eric the Tech, because this is something I would do. You know, the electric cars, Tesla, you know, the Teslas? The guy in Finland was faced with, I got to replace the fuel cell, or otherwise the battery, fuel cell, $23,900. Oh, so you know what he did? He made a YouTube video of this. He took his Tesla out and blew it up. Okay, with dynamite. It was beautiful. But see, this is the kind of nonsense that America was not built on this kind of crap. You know, this is, anyway, go ahead, continue.
Well, let's get even more detailed than that. We have an excellent medical system, don't we? No, we do not.
We had one.
No, we didn't even have one. Medicine for diabetics is not to cure it. It's to keep buying pharmacy goods. High blood pressure medicine is not to cure it. It's to keep you on the drug. My wife has arteriosclerosis, I think. It's that bone stuff, okay? She has that. The only medicine, and I don't know if it's effective at all, is $4,000 a month. Come on, guys. What do you think's going on? And let me just say this, because people really don't realize this either. All the farmland we have has been depleted of all of their natural minerals. Been depleted. We don't get them anymore. All this enriched stuff is artificial. The body doesn't know anything about artificial minerals. Folks, the water we drink has been taken down so many times that there's nothing left of value in it except water itself. But all the minerals, all the stuff, it's not there anymore. So somebody says, well, I go buy it from these guys that get it from a spring. Well, folks, I want to say that about the spring. I believe that most of the spring is just tap water poured in a bottle. I'm sorry. That's what I believe. I believe that. I can't tell any difference when I taste it. And it costs more than a gallon of gasoline costs. Folks, we are being hoodwinked badly. Everything about what we're doing. Our medical system isn't about curing. It's about keeping people alive for money reasons. Think about it. If your father, this is my very, very case, okay? My father had a really thin heart, really thin walls of his heart. They didn't give him very long to live. This was in December. He called us all in and said, what should I do? I'd been associated with hospitals for 20 years at that point as an administrator, okay, as a part of the hospital. I said, Dad, don't do anything. Live your life right now the best you can. Because if you take the surgery, you will have no quality of life from now on. You'll just be kept alive and pay money out the window. And you won't have any quality of life because of all the debilitating things that will happen to try to get you back healthy again. Don't do it. And at the end of March, he passed away. That was very peaceful pass away. That was a very good thing. Folks, you got to understand, we're all going out the door. Being kept on a machine isn't being kept. Folks, we have been led down a path. Now, I'm not saying don't take medicine. Heavens to Betsy, no. I'm just trying to say they're not trying to cure you. They're trying to keep you on the meds. I'm a diabetic. I'm on the meds. Okay, I have high blood pressure. I'm on the meds. Okay, I understand that. But I also understand they're just trying to keep me alive to buy the meds. Well, I'm glad I'm alive to buy the meds because I couldn't do this if I hadn't had them because I would have passed away in 1990. And I have things to do. If it wasn't for meds, I'd have passed away in 1990. If it wasn't for heart surgery, I'd have passed away in 2001. Okay?
Yeah, those are this condition. Me too. You know, I had surgery in 2005. So, you know, there is a good sense about this. But here's the other side of this, okay? And this is relevant today. There's a difference between keeping someone alive and having the medicine available. For example, helping your wife. Or helping a diabetic who in addition improves his lifestyle or her lifestyle, needs that supplementation, for example. But I believe we can address a lot of this through natural means. But on the flip side of this, and this is what, to me, this is what's going on today. You've got people, and Alex Jones did an expose on this, people like Peter Nygaard, who's this Canadian-Finnish fashion designer, who's under indictment for, he had an island, has an island in the Caribbean, but bringing young girls down there, and this is difficult to talk about, but using the serum of the unborn or the newly born or the, younger, shall we say, using that in an attempt to gain small g godhood status, or not eternal life, but as close to that as possible. Those are the people like Nygaard and like others who want to live forever. And I suspect part of that is to escape the judgment of God, and the other part of that is just narcissistic egomania. But so you've got two, like you said with your dad, you know, he passed away peacefully. He lived a life. But you got people over here attempting to live forever or reverse the aging process or stop the aging process, whatever it might be. And those people, I believe, are sick. But you know what? They're the ones involved in a lot of this spirit cooking and all this other crap that's going on. But I digress. But so what you're saying, folks, the reason I piped in here is what he's saying is so relevant to what's going on today. And I know that he's meeting and connecting with a lot of people that matches our demographic in this program. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, my mother, she was not very well. Okay, she wasn't healthy as she'd like to be. She had been in the hospital, and she was released from the hospital on Saturday. My wife and I, we went to see her Sunday night, spent some time with her. She was happy as a lark. Monday morning, she passed away. But they took her to the hospital and immediately put her on machines to keep her alive. What? We got there and says, take her off the machine. She has a living will. She does not want to be on a machine. Well, now listen to the sentence. She didn't have one for this admission. Of course she didn't. But she had one for the last admission, which was only 2 days ago. But it doesn't count. She may have changed her mind. That was the sentence. We had to beat those guys to death almost to get them to let her off the machine. Finally, they did. They put her up on a floor where there weren't, I don't know why, but there wasn't anybody else on the floor. And she passed away peacefully about 10:30. Why should she go through all that garbage to keep her alive? And you haven't seen a ventilator in operation until you see one. You don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what that is. That's not just a peaceful thing like they show you in the movies. Oh, no. It's not peaceful. Sometimes you see a show that they blow somebody up big and then they explode. Well, that's what it looks like. Okay?
And by the way, right now, 39% of those on ventilators never get off. 39%. And that's a conservative number, but go ahead, sir.
Ventilators are to keep you alive and make money. They do. They make money. Look at all the money that's collected from the insurance companies. And you, folks, we are in a position where we're being wiped out entirely. We're just being wiped out by our government. Here's another subject. Let me see. Where are we now in our time? Oh, we're going along pretty well. Here's another subject to dive into. Different from what we've been talking about. New subject.
That's everybody. Right. It's all yours, bro.
Yeah, new subject. We've covered the last one really good. New subject, taxes. Now, I talked about taxes, direct and indirect taxes, on my podcast that I just came out yesterday. I'm going to enlarge a little bit on that, okay? So this is a little bit after the other one. So you got to listen to the other one so you know what this one's about. Well, it's not quite that bad. Taxes. Now, Madison in the convention in Philadelphia said, and I've read what he said. He said, if we tax the people with indirect taxes, we might as well stay with England. Now, direct taxes means that you're being taxed by the government. You personally are being taxed by the government. Indirect taxes means that an entity that serves you is being taxed by the government, and they decide what the tax will be. So if an indirect tax was going to the state of Utah, and the state of Utah said, oh, you're wasting my money. We are not going to pay that. We'll pay this much. As long as there was no way to force them, then they would have to cut back, wouldn't they? Or borrow money. You see, that's the other problem. We just borrow ourselves into debt. But we're trying to be, if we had an honest government, we wouldn't be pushing ourselves into debt like this? I mean, just think about it. Here we are in 2020. Taxes. We're in 2020. People aren't making any money. They're not working. So they send them $1,000, $1,200, 24 a couple. Oh, boy, I can breathe a sigh of relief. I got $2,400. The bill that passed it was for several trillion, and 90% or more went to businesses and banks and overseas, and you still paid the bill in your taxes. And this is an inflation tax we're talking about now. An inflation tax. Oh, yes. Well, direct taxes are taxed on the state. The state has control. In addition to that, the state representative is in the Senate, and he's going to make sure those things don't get through. You see how it was balanced? So he took the state, the senators away, and gave them to the people. Then now we're no longer represented by senators. Never were we. 100 senators representing millions? It's always been that way. What are you talking about, millions? Of course, right now, on average, every senator represents 3.3 million people. Now, they didn't want to have more than 50,000 for the representatives. Today, on average, every representative supports somewhere around or represents somewhere around 800,000. 800,000? You can't do. We are not represented. We are seeing a government exactly like England's, just has a different name. It's exactly the same. They get down to the minutiae in your life. They get down to the minutiae in your health. What do you think Medicare is about? Is to control your health. Come on, folks. I was in the hospital business when Medicare came about. It was not a help for anybody. Oh, well, we're going to have Obamacare, so everybody will have insurance. There's 17 million people not on insurance, so we're going to have Obamacare, so everybody will have it. So everybody sat back. Fat, dumb, and happy. Now we have 30 million people not on insurance or more. Scads of them can't get on, or because of government rules, they can't get on Obamacare. I'm fortunate. I've got VA and Humana and things like that. Of course, I don't have the VA anymore because that's a hospital and it's in a hospital system, and they're just as bad. I've got a problem with my CPAP machines. You have to have our oxygen at night. It's not working. I'll get a new one in 3 or 4 months, maybe. I need a new mask. Well, we'll get it to you in December. I'll be to you next week. Didn't come. End of December. Been a couple of days. Didn't come. That's the way it's working. We're not getting the services we had in 2019 backwards. At least we had services then.
But why? See, I want to know why.
Okay. The whys are because people aren't going to work.
Okay.
Because the government's paying them to not go to work, or the government's paying the companies that did stuff enough money so they don't manufacture anymore.
Okay.
The government puts vaccine requirements on truckers so they can't travel. That's what went on. They changed the rules on trucking in California. So immediately all the trucks that are not passing those rules can't go to the port to get anything to come here. And the trains can't get loaded, and can't all get loaded unless they have all the things they need. But you see, what I'm trying to say is this is all government controlled, and it's all been set up, and it's a plan. There is no coincidence in government. Never. It's all planned. And this plan was made, not finalized, just made, the outline, 1776 on May the 1st. The guy started the plan with the basic concepts. No private property, no religion, no governments, no borders. That was the plan, basics. And we, the people above, control them all. That was the plan. In 1910, a man by the name of House, Edward Mandel House, who called himself a colonel, he was never in the service. He called himself a colonel, and so did everybody else. He just assumed the title. He wrote a book called Philip Drew Administrator. Read it. It's an outline of what the government's supposed to be controlled by me, not me personally, me, Richard, me, the guy who wrote the book, and those people who he belonged to, which were the people who started in 1776. And in 1910, he was a part of that group. He wrote that book, and that book was he gave a copy of that book to Wilson as soon as he went into office. For that, probably. And Wilson did everything he could to follow that book. And then everything didn't get followed. So Roosevelt did the same thing. Roosevelt, Theodore now, he went to see one of the Supreme Court justices for advice. Who did he go see? Felix Frankfurter. Who was Felix Frankfurter? A part of the group that's controlling us right now. Folks, go to them and ask, what should we do next? Well, let me see. The next best thing is to destroy something. So they figure out how to do it. Folks, we are being taken to the cleaners. Every day we're being taken to the cleaners. It's terrible. And the taxes, direct taxes. Let me just point something out. They passed the direct taxes by telling people it's only really going to be on the rich. In the year 1913, it was the max tax ratio, tax level, was something like $400,000. I can't give you the number of what that is. I can't do that very well. But the man, Paul Warburg, in 1906, who was a part of this group to get us a central bank, and he did it. 1906 is when he got here. He was paid $500,000 a year. That equated to, in today's money, $33 million a year. In today's money. He was paid that kind of money to get us on a central bank system. Oh, plus expenses, so he didn't have to, you know, use up his money traveling. Okay, now, one of the things they had to have before they could have the Federal Reserve was a income tax directly on the people. They had to have it. They had to have it. It couldn't be otherwise. So when they wrote the plan, now this is not in the plan that you see, but when they wrote the plan, they, not the guys at Jekyll Island, they, the guys that were controlling Jekyll Island, that, those people, the plan was to make sure we have this direct taxes, and they've got this representative stuff. We got to stop that too. The senators are representing the state, and we got to stop that. We've already pretty well stopped the representative in the House. We never had that. They already stopped that really well, but we put a cap on it in 29, so never will we have a representative again. Folks, this is what's going on. Well, in 1913, the tax was 1%, and they said up to $20,000. Nobody in 1933 is going to make $20,000 a year. Nobody, except a certain group of people. And they're the people who passed the tax. So they knew what to put in, where to put it, so it wouldn't be taxed, because there were all kinds of loopholes. If you've got your money here and here, here and here and here and here, that's tax-free. So that's where they put it, there and there and there and there. So that over $20,000, they still didn't pay any taxes. But the one percenters did. And that was all the way up to 20,000. And then it was only 2%. 1916, they raised the 1% to 2%. And the one at 20,000 to 3%. Now, listen to what they did in 17. Now, this is just 4 years after it. Remember the plan. 2% on everybody up to $2,000, not 20, 2. And 4% and gradually going above that. Those were the minimum taxes. The maximum taxes on those were way out of sight. Nobody even paid any attention. In the 1950s, tax that we all paid was 28%. So we thought that was pretty high. Over $4,000, they taxed them 22%, went down 6. But at $400,000, they charged them 91%. Now, that's not 91% of the total. It's all written for these guys so they can keep their money safe. After the loopholes, it's written so that you only pay it on a small portion. And the big portions are down in the low levels, just as low as they can get it. But they have to have graduation like that so they can make sure the little guys, you and I, pay as much as possible. Right now, you don't really know this, 2001, the minimum tax from zero up to $20,000 is 10%.
Wait a second. You said 2001, or you mean this year?
I say 2021. I mean this year, right now.
All right.
Zero to 19,900 is 10%. It only goes to 12 at 19,000. But it gets up to the 40s and 50s and 60s at the higher rates. And the reason the higher rates are high is so they can raise the lower rates, have a justification to raise the lower rates. If the higher rates weren't high, then people would be complaining that they were raising the lower rates. So you call it progressive. So everybody thinks it's good. So you graduate it like this, and you're not going to pay any more than this level, but everybody thinks you're paying up here, while they're paying more and more and more as they make money. Now, inflationary. What's inflation? Inflation is more money worth less. Okay? Almost worthless, but worth less. Worth less means you can buy less with it. Okay? That means things cost more. Okay, that's economics. Okay, so what happens when if you get a $10 an hour raise tomorrow? You're making $20 and make a $10 raise tomorrow. What happens? Now remember, they're doing that because of inflation. So everybody's getting one of those raises. Everybody's tax bracket goes up. And you pay more taxes out of your money. So you have less than you had when you were making $20,000. Because inflation already took big bites out of, because inflation was caused by the government that's charging you the tax. And we're not represented. It's just the same as England and us in the colonies. We're not represented. They do what they want. They do what they're told by the people in charge. And those people are the people in charge, not the ones in charge in our government, the ones in charge. And they are composed of people like Gates and Soros. We all know those names. But there's a lot more than that. Volume one. Preface, volume one. Here's some of the names and their families. Here they are. I'm going to read them. I got to get past the introduction, though, to the preface. I've got to be in the preface here. Where's the preface? Here it is. Here's the people's names. These are the people by name that are doing it to us and their descendants. The families of Rothschild, Warburg, Schiff. Do you know anybody with a last name of Schiff? Lazar, yep. Kuhnloh, Meyer, Ferries. Do you know anybody with the last name of Ferries? Ever heard of anybody? Morgan, Rockefeller, Harriman. Do you know anybody with the last name of Harriman? The Bush family is a part of the Harriman dynasty.
Yep.
Lazard brothers. Lazard. Let me get here. Milner, Perkins, Muncie, Dulles, House. Those families and all the descendants of them. Not all, of course. Some of them fall off the wayside. Those are the people who are making the money. Now, my wife said to me today when we were talking about some of this stuff, she says, you know, there's probably people in that group that are making trillions, not billions. And we don't know it. And she's absolutely right. You think Bill Gates is wealthy because he has $60 billion? Heavens, no. He's still sweeping the floor of the office. But he's not got $60 billion anymore because all this money that's being made, you have no idea all the money that's being made by these guys. Not only are they making all the money from the big pharma stuff, okay? Not only are they making all the money from the patents of the medicines that they're giving us, not only is all of that happening, they're also getting money from us every day when we pay our loans. All that money goes to them. Oh, yeah, it all goes to them. Yes. We are $22 trillion in debt, personal debt. We've signed on the line that we're going to pay that. And everybody refinances their house every day. Oh, I'm going to have a shorter, so I'm going to refinance the house. They don't care about the interest rate. It makes a difference on how much you're going to pay, so you care. They don't care. All they want is your name on that income stream because they want the principal. You see, guys, you buy a house for $100,000. The bank, mortgage company, those big banks that handle all that financing, they don't give anybody any cash. They give them checks or they make ballot entries, accounting entries on the sheets. When you pay your wealth you earned. It comes out of your pocket. And it goes up to those guys who didn't do anything but print a check. They get your money. That's why the Federal Reserve was set up, so that they would get all of our money. That's why all the advertisements, all of them are encouraging us to buy more, buy more, buy more. Oh, you can afford it. The monthly payment is only $10. Oh, you can afford it. You can afford it. Oh, you deserve this. You deserve that. Oh, you've got to have one of those. Oh, look at all these fancy things. Better get this or that or the other. They have shopping channels to make sure everybody buys as much as they can with cards. Every time you use a card, you're putting money in the pocket of Bill Gates. Go ahead.
Okay, so as well, to extend this, there are people, for example, in Europe that will sit down every day, right, and decide what the cost or value or what the sales price of gold and silver is.
Oh, yes, yes, diamonds, okay. Gold, silver, yes, right. they peg it. They peg it, yes.
Right, so you think
there's organization.
It's not a free market system that's deciding, for example, the value of an ounce of silver or an ounce of gold. It's being decided in the bowels, the basements of some of these mansions over in Europe, as well as what you're talking about, the interest rates, the and none of that.
All committee driven.
It's all gained. Yes. You know, and if I can interject one thing here, because you had mentioned all of the names, okay? Not all of the names, but some of the names, at least in the infrastructure there. I'm going to just shoot this off because we have a lot of time here yet. Back in 1981, just so people know, there was a sitcom by the name of Barney Miller, and it was really a real-life police show. It was a comedy, but I don't know how many people remember this. There was one specific episode in Barney Miller where everything that Richard Proctor is talking about was stated in this like a minute segment, and there was laughter from the audience. Richard, do you mind if we play this minute clip?
Go ahead, play okay. It. Yes, all right. Please do.
Do you remember that episode or remember the?
Oh, I didn't see it. I wish I had. I didn't see it. Okay, no, I'm going to see it now.
Okay, go ahead and play this.
They're the ones who should be arresting, not me.
Why didn't you say that before?
What do we got here?
Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
But I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they?
He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission?
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you're just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here.
Conspiracy Review. Suppress Truth Roundup.
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
you're still not convinced, huh? would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein.
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who?
Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. So, No matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
Yeah. All right.
Absolute truth. Not one word of exaggeration. Absolute truth.
The reason I wanted to play that is they're laughing at us. Richard Proctor, that was 40 years ago. And this appeared in a sitcom. They're laughing at us. If you, I'll tell you what, if the Liberty series would have been around, they would have used that as the prop to say, look, you know, it's conspiracy. It's true. And they're laughing at us. Go ahead, sir.
By the way, if they did that same run today, different people saying a little bit different stuff, they'd laugh at that too.
Yep.
Nobody believes this. That's why I wrote this, because I can't live forever. Books do.
Amen.
This book, this Liberty series, we've got to get it right. I can't get it right. This Liberty series will live for as long as paper exists. I won't. But the information will be there as long as paper exists. And it's all true, precisely what he just said. He said UNICEF, right? Broke a sign of UNICEF. UNICEF is a United Nations organization. Have you noticed how many times when they're showing New York pictures, they show the United Nations buildings? It's subconscious. Put it back in our minds. United Nations, United Nations. United Nations, have you ever read their, it's in the books, by the way. Have you ever read their charter, their beginning words? It's beautiful. It's outstanding. All the good things they're going to do for the world. Wow. God himself wouldn't write it any better. Really. Do they do any of it? Oh, absolutely not. It's just window washed so that you'll think that's what the goals are. Just window washed. Trilateral Commission. I got the names in volume 2 of that group. Bilderbergers. I got names of some of the Bilderbergers in there. That's another part of it. World Economic Forum, that's another one. I don't have the names of those people. This goes on and on. CFR in the United States, 11,000 members of the CFR, the last count that I saw, I don't have their names in the book. 11,000 members. And here's another thing about the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, by the way. In Europe, it's called the Royal Institute of International Affairs. That's in England. Royal Institute of International Affairs is the compadre, if you say it that way, of CFR, Council on Foreign Relations in our country. Chicago has a chapter of the CFR. They tell me Salt Lake has a chapter of the CFR. I don't know about that. Nonetheless, it is universal. CFR has 11,000 members. And here's an item. If you're ever a part of the CFR, you always are a part of the CFR. Always. And if you're not a part of it, but you want to do their stuff and they're agreeing with you, you might not be, but you're still one of the group. We had a mayor in Salt Lake City, Huntsman. He's a part of the CFR, but his name's not on the list. He's a part of it nonetheless. He went on to be an ambassador. A Republican in Utah, went on to be an ambassador, Democrat in China. In China, he went. What I'm trying to say, you guys, is that they're all around us and they're hidden. They're hiding. They're hiding because they don't want us to know what they're doing. But more and more and more is coming out. Now, if you really want a background, detailed, precise, not more than I've got in here because it's a very short book, but it has the details of exactly what happened during the Goldwater time, Gold War. You get a hold of a book, The Naked Capitalist, written by Cleon Skousen. Just get a hold of it. Or get a hold of the book, None Dare Call It Treason. Or None Dare Call It Treason 25 years later. Or None Dare Call It a Conspiracy. Those four books. Get a hold of those books. They're not long. If you get through those books and you don't know what's going on, you didn't read it. Honest. Skousen in the 50s wrote a book called The Naked Communist. When he wrote the book, The Naked Capitalist, he said, the communists are just pawns of this, just the same as we are. They're just pawns. When the group above them get tired of them, they'll take it away. They'll close it. And they did. You know, everybody says, oh, look, Reagan, he's there. He says, take down that wall. And they did. That's really nice. What does that tell you? What does that tell you when Ronald Reagan said publicly, take down that wall? And they took it down. That tells you that he was in on the know that they were going to take it down. If he's in on the know, then he's a part of the group. And that's Ronald Reagan. Are you guys understanding Eisenhower? Great, great president? No, he was part of the group. Honest guys. These are the people that are part of the group. We have not elected someone that we elect or chose since, well, Wilson, for sure. Wilson got in office because they wanted him there. But they really didn't care a lot. They financed all three candidates. Did you know that these people finance both candidates when they don't care? Here came a man named Trump. Now, I'm having a little bit of an issue with this at this point, but it appeared to me, and I said it out loud, it appeared to me, this man is not a part of the group. Why? Because they're bashing him so bad. And I said that all along. But historically, now I'm looking back at some of the things, and it could be that he was a part of the group, just bashing it. He's of the right income bracket to be a part of the group. But I'm not saying he is. I'm not saying he isn't. But he's pushing hard the vaccine even right now.
Yeah, I've got some questions. What about the vaccine that he's pushing? What about the prisoners, the political prisoners that are in jail right now, rotting away from January 6th? Why hasn't he spoken up? Yeah, you know, if I was a guy, if I was Donald Trump, I'd have their backs. He doesn't.
Well, here's a bigger question. Here's a bigger question. If he was really with our country, when he landed in Florida, he would have established our country there and left Washington, D.C. to go rot.
I did you hear that, folks? Eric the Tech, did you hear that? Liberal, the progressive, the communist heads exploding. Pop, pop, pop. Interesting comment. But is that constitutional?
The military were with him. The military were with him. He got Ruffles and Furoshes 100%. Biden got a... He got a 21-gun salute. Biden got...
Yeah, what okay. The hell? What the, going
they
back
said
to
that. A government plane took him to Florida. A private plane a commercial plane took Biden to Washington. Are you getting the picture of all this? Servicemen turned their backs on him when he was going down the street in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, are you getting the idea? The military people were with him. And he could have done it. But he didn't. So then you ask why. You don't ask how. The how is obvious. Why? And then all the stuff that's going on now and all the stuff that's happening, and he's still pushing for winning in the next election? What? Haven't we learned about the machines? By the way, I'm going to ask the question. Everybody, search, find out. Are the machines in your county still operating?
Yep.
Do you have paper ballots, a paper trail of your voting in your county? Check. Well, you're going to go vote again in November of this 22. Check. If you don't have those two things, if they have machines, it's going to be falsified, but at least pull the plug so it's not on the internet. Are the election judges that are going to be at your precinct? How did they get there? Check. That's how all these things happened, because nobody checked those things I just said. Now they are checking them, and they're finding out that the whole thing was stolen everywhere. But I don't see Trump rising to try to do something and gather his forces together and start the nation again, the republic again.
And for all the bluster, I don't see any congressman, senator, I don't see anybody saying, wait a second, we have to go back to that election and get the answers. The audit in Arizona, what the hell happened to that?
Yeah, it's just going under the rug, huh? It's just gone. And it proved it. They didn't want it in Wisconsin. It's proving it. All those things just kind of just flowed away. Why? Why? Because they don't intend for you to have anything different the next time either. unless you in your county go down to that county and find out if they still have those machines. If they do, bust up the connection to the internet. They'll be mad at you. They'll probably fine you.
Last time I voted, Richard, I almost got escorted out of there because, you know, they handed me a paper ballot, which became a digital image, and a Sharpie. And so I made a big deal about that. I made a big deal about the machines. But you know what? You had a bunch of sheep there in masks looking at me like I had two heads. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. No one gave a damn, and no one is giving a damn now.
That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, everybody, we have everybody, you know. Well, let's get it right. People are talking that way, but not the authorities, not the guy. Remember, I said right at the beginning of our talk today, it is right to send it back to the states, like Biden said. It is right. That's where it belongs. But it doesn't make any difference because they're on board with what Biden wants, because Biden's on board with what the big guys want, and so are they. I can't say people come to Utah because we've got an honest government. I can't say that. I can say go to South Dakota. You got a better chance. I can say that. Folks, we are being led by our noses, and we still haven't got our noses out of the mire. We don't know what's happening. I've sold thousands of books, and I'm hoping everybody that's got them reading them. But thousands, it's not 20,000. It's not 20. It's not 15. There are 3.3. No, there's 330 million people in this country. And that's probably going to be, 150 million households. Every one of those households that's interested in our country should have this book and this book. They should have them because that's where you're going to learn what's happening to us. But they don't. In fact, I'm known around the community here as one of the radicals. I am. I admit it. Nobody comes in with a mask on. They all know that. I don't know what they do any place else, but in my home, they don't wear a mask, and they don't even come with one on because they know they're not going to get to wear it. I don't know what they do other places. Everybody knows when you stand up. Problem is, do they believe in what you're doing? And in the majority of the cases, they've got their nose, their eyes, and their ears all plugged in. Everything plugged into that media every night. And they're being fed every night garbage and lies, lies and lies and lies. You can't trust one word that comes out of the alphabet media. Not one word. Written, public, I don't care. You can't trust one word coming out of that. By the way, this is an interesting fact. I do not know how important it is, but it's an interesting fact. Here's a guy that's pushing hard for vaccines. Editor of the Washington Post died not too long ago. He's probably was vaccinated. Died. Unexpectedly.
Yeah, he was. But that's the elephant in the room no one's talking about. And you know what? It's just one of those things. It's a coincidence.
Yep, just a coincidence. The editor of the New York Times died. Heart attack. A young guy. Not an old dude. A young guy. Children. Children are dying. Three-year-olds dying. They try to give this down to babies so they won't survive. Folks, we're being bamboozled, and we just don't pay any attention. Oh, yeah, put the game on. I don't watch the Bears, the football game. Yeah, put the game on. Bring me another beer, Mabel. Oh, boy. Why don't they try? Well, the guy, the founder said it. We're only one generation from tyranny. We got to pay attention. If you can keep it, isn't that what Franklin said? A republic, if you can keep it. Well, folks, he said that when they were just coming out. And a year and a half later, it started to rot. Even the numbers in the Constitution itself established a rot. I know the population of the United States in those days. It's in the, you can find it. And if you go back now and you look at it, you'll find that it's short about 40 representatives. It's only at 69. I don't go. I think 69 is the next is the census year. I don't remember exactly what those numbers are, but you can look at them. They're in the book. You can look at the numbers that are in. They're in the Constitution here. Article 1, Section 2, Paragraph 3 lists how many from each state will be in the House. List them by name. They're in there. No, not by name, by number. Every state's number listed right there. That number did not come up to 30,000 average on the population. Did not. But that's what they said in the same paragraph. It's going to be 30,000. So the Federalists who were in that got a hold of that and made sure that the numbers were right and not 30,000. And the Federalists got a hold of the census and the enumeration and what's going to happen in the census of 1990 and 1800 and 1810 and 1820. And in the book, in the Liberty series, I've got it listed out, the population, how many represented they should have been, how many there really were for every decade. Except the Civil War, that's tough to do. Folks, we have never had a republic, proper republic. Benjamin Franklin's sentence was fulfilled if a year and a half after they adjourned. The census was taken and 50,000 was the number. From then to the Civil War, it was always 50,000 or 60,000. No matter what the population was, it was always 50 or 60,000. When it got up beyond the Civil War, the numbers got too big to keep having, so they get further and further apart. I can't remember the number, but I think the number in 1920 should have been somewhere in 2,500. Maybe it was even a little higher, but in that neighborhood, and we had 435. And then it was capped at 435. Capped? Allah, cap, the Constitution itself. Let me see, what does it say right here? What does it say? I'm in Article 6, by the way. The Constitution and the laws of the United States which are made in accordance with the Constitution. Well, the law in 1929 that was made to cap the House of Representatives 435 is not in accordance with the Constitution. Therefore, it's null and void. Get out every state. Find out how many people you've got. And elect that many representatives divided by 30,000. And send them to Washington, every state. Why, I can't do that. They've only allocated me that much. Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm reading out of the book again. The power, the federal government is limited to the powers in the Constitution. And the Supreme and the states can do everything else. Well, the Constitution says states will be represented by senators. So send your senator from your legislature. Just do it. You can, by the way, you can nullify that thing and do it. Find out the right number of representatives and send them. Do it. It's right here in the book that you all held your hand up and said you were going to follow. Do it. Nobody is, but you could. There's nothing stopping you. Nothing at all except your honor and integrity. And whether or not you're being bribed by the big guys up above. How much money do you accept from the guys up above? I think you'll find that almost everybody in the business of government that's voting for the bad things has a big cache of money somewhere.
What do we do about this? I mean, in the 7 minutes we have left here, 6.5 minutes, what do we do about this?
Again, I'm back to the same thing. You've got to elect people who know the Constitution.
Yep.
There's no other way. The ones we have don't follow it. You've got to elect people who know and will follow the Constitution. But nobody knows it, except a very few people in each state, and they don't know it very well. Here's a statement. I'm sorry, Doug. I can't answer it any different than I've been answering.
You know what? That's the only way to answer it. I mean, Eric just whispered in my ear, they're not in the system. Essentially, I get the point. I mean, I get all this. The system really, as it stands right now, is so friggin' broken. And I apologize for that. But you know what? It's broken. And, you know, I look, I'm okay with ripping it down right now and rebuilding it in the manner it should have been built, in, you know, or
That's the Declaration of Independence. Rip it down and put the Constitution in force.
And you know, I see comments by these keyboard warrior morons, not all of them, but a couple of them, you know, on the videos that that we have. And you know, it's about time. It's about time. I believe this, that we get from out from our desks, away from our keyboards, and we go out and make the changes that are necessary in order to change our way of life and to ensure that our once republic, as you mentioned, it's a thugocracy right now, is reestablished as it was intended. Because what are we leaving our children? What are we leaving our offspring? You know what, folks? You can bitch and moan all day long, all right? And I'm sorry if that offends you, but that you can do that all day long. But what are you going to do? What are you, you know, if we've got to make the changes. And I think you've got the manual. You got the manual there, Richard. And by the way, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Speaking of manuals, Liberty Series, great series.
Let me make a comment here, Doug. I wrote this a long time ago. I didn't remember I did. I used to give it in a talk I did. More detailed information on these and many more subjects concerning how we have been led to the edge of this cliff is provided in the 6-volume series, Liberty, Will It Survive the 21st Century? How we have been led to the edge of the cliff. Are we lemmings? Are we lemmings? We're going to jump off the cliff? It looks like it. Is anybody going to stand up and say, well, I'm standing up, but I'm just one guy, and I would say this, Doug, to what you said, get out behind the desk and off the computer. You and I should not get off the desk and behind the computer. We are the spokespeople.
Well, yeah. I agree with that. I want to be proactive. I want to go out there and knock some heads. I really do. You know,
long as you continue doing what you're doing, that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't stop what you're doing.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. And, you know, yeah.
I find myself doing this about 4 times a week now, somewhere. My classes that I'd like to give people about the Constitution, I don't have any schedule. Got time, though. I got time to do it. Nobody's scheduled. Everything follows true, just like before, saving the Constitution, Zoom or Skype. I'm ready to do them, but I haven't got any schedule. So if anybody wants them, I'll do them. I'll do them. I'm not going anywhere. Staying right here. Folks, we've got to do something. And I don't know how I can be more proactive than teaching as much as I can teach. I don't know how to be more proactive than that. I could stand on the street corner and wave a banner. Yes, I could. But I feel that that's a waste of my banner time. I think I can reach out to the population we're reaching to, and the other populations that I reach on the other shows I do. Perhaps we can get something done. There's a better chance if we help people understand, and there's really a good chance if everybody would just acquire that book right there. Just acquire that book and read it. Every coffee table should have a well-worn copy. Not pristine, that's no good. Worn out, that's good. You know, like my Constitution. You guys have seen it. See all the. Can you see all the paper clips and notes? No, you can't. Well, there they are. It's well worn out. I can quickly turn to any page. It's all wrinkled. Nothing sticks together. Yours should look like that too. Pristine isn't right. Folks, we've got to do something. But you can't fix something if you don't know how it's broken. If you don't know a remedy, you can't fix it. I see a square wheel rolling down the street. Square. How can we fix it? Well, I don't know how to fix it. I'll get a tool to help me know how to fix the square wheel. And that tool will tell me about how to use a saw. Oh, that'll help me fix it. It'll tell me how to use a lathe, perhaps, if you really want to fix it. But the tools, you can't do it unless you know what you're doing. You just can't do it, folks.
Richard, we're going to leave it right there, my friend.
Yes.
You drove it home. You brought it home. We appreciate you. ProvisInstitute.com, folks. That's where to go. Contact Richard. The information will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Richard, happy new year.
Oh, you too. It's have a good year, everybody. Let's have a good year.
See you next year, my friend.
Yes.
All right. Good night, everyone.